Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another night in the Red Room. I want to thank everyone who is joining us on the show tonight. I want to thank everyone that has joined us on our past shows. I just want to say it has been an incredible, incredible opportunity to be able to come together on Thursday nights to be able to share the topics that we share and to be able to have an opportunity to just discuss the topics that we discuss. I want to first and foremost welcome my co-host, one who I know is on the way to listen in and join us. Again, I will say the hardest working man in Hotlanta, James. He's probably on his way home or getting off from work. So when he's on the show with us tonight, I will let you know. I also want to thank my other co-host, Sarah Lynn, who every week just makes sure she just saves the time to join us, and all our other listeners that take the time to join our show, I want to thank you. Our topic for tonight is one that was sent to me through an email from someone who felt that it was something that we need to talk about, and I don't know whether or not it was a personal topic or if it was one that just kind of came to mind. So either way, I just want to let everyone know that some of the things that we come up with that we talk about are not just my topics, but they're topics that other people want to hear and want to talk about. Our topic for tonight is the ex that's holding you hostage. And yes, we're going to talk about sex with the ex. Is it a sign of love, control, or is it an addiction? Either way, we'll discuss how to break free. I mean, I think in the reality of relationships is this. If it works for you, it works for you. But if it's not working for you, you will never, never, ever, ever get what you truly deserve if you remain attached to what you're supposed to let go of. So it is clear that some relationships that end can be repaired. Not all relationships that end are meant to end for the purpose of the two people not coming back together. Some relationships end and both people work on themselves and they come back together, you know, better. And sometimes, you know, you have situations where two people are in a marriage and the relationship ends and the marriage ends, which results in divorce, but they later come back together and remarry. I know several couples that have done just that. Then there are some relationships that never got to the point of marriage that end for whatever reason. And then the two people work on themselves separately, and they come back together realizing the things that they needed to give to the other person in the relationship, and they're able to do that. So I'm not saying that every relationship that ends should end and stay just that, the end. But for those relationships that end, and it ended so badly that you feel that there's no means of reconciliation, you've got to stop allowing yourself to be hostage in those relationships. Because what happens is there's some relationships that should end, and the other person may not want it to be over because it's the typical, I don't want you, but I don't want somebody else to have you either. And that's very common. People don't want to think that a person could be so selfish, but in a lot of relationships, that happens. That person doesn't want to be with you, but they don't want you to be with anybody else either. So what they have a tendency to do is to create situations, to create an environment where they draw you in to keep you in a place where you've said, I don't want to be anymore, but you're stuck there and you don't know how to move forward. And then you have the situation where a person may say, I don't want you, but I don't want you the way that we were together. I only want you the way that you are outside of me, outside of the relationship that you're in with me. So what we're going to talk about tonight are those types of relationships. And when I thought about how to proceed with the show, it just took me back to because I always do research. I always do research. I always look to see what other people think, what other people are saying, along with my own opinion and the things that I have learned from my own personal experience, from the surveys that I do. But what brought me to the place of being able to share the information on the show tonight was something that I know has worked for so many people. And the reason that I know that it has worked is because of the reviews that I've gotten, the feedback that I've gotten from a certain chapter in my book. If you have not purchased the book yet, you can go to my website, shellylbrooks.com, purchase the book. It's available on ebook at amazon.com as well as the hard copy. I will say this, if you purchase the book from Amazon, I cannot autograph the book. But if you purchase it directly from my website, I can personalize it and autograph it for you. How I want to start this discussion is just talking about from the beginning how a relationship, when the relationship ends. When the relationship ends, it takes you to a place where you're not quite sure how to proceed. You just basically know that it's over. But you have the question of, what do I do now? You may have had a relationship that ended before, but each time it's a different experience. But what I have found is, personally from myself and from other people that have shared in the support group that I have, as well as just people that I know and I talk to, you go through these five stages that I came to understand through a totally different experience, but the stages you go through are from suffering a loss. And the stages are called the five stages of grief. And those five stages are this: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Now, through those five stages, the ones that I want to talk about are, I guess it's the first stage where you can be in that place where you are held hostage in that relationship. And I guess that place is the stage of bargaining. But I don't want to skip over the other stages because these are stages that are very, very important when a relationship ends. The first stage is denial. And this is the stage where you just kind of can't believe that the relationship has ended. I mean, this is, you know, you've taken the step to either end the relationship, either party, or someone else has taken the stage to step to end the relationship, but you are feeling a sense, and at first you may be feeling a sense of exhilaration, a feeling of you have let yourself free of something that has caused you pain or is causing you pain. You may be in denial about how much it hurts to walk away, and this stage is one where you'll feel that, okay, I've walked away, but this is where he'll change or she'll change because, you know, we all hear the saying, you don't miss what you have until it's gone. So you'll feel the denial, but it'll take you to another stage, which is anger. And this is the anger that you may have with yourself or the person that you were in the relationship with. You'll either be angry with yourself because, oh, I can't believe I put up with so much stuff for so long. Or, I can't believe that person did that to me. But that stage can make you feel so many different emotions. Then you have the stage of bargaining. Now, this is where, again, I said you have the tendency to fall into the trap of being held hostage. And what I want to do is I just want to share with you just a few paragraphs from my own personal experience and what bargaining can actually do. Bargaining is a means of negotiating your way out of the pain. You feel it, you know that it's there, but you want to bargain your way out of the pain. And you may start to think, what if only I could, or maybe if, which you'll feel are options that will eliminate the pain or change the situation. The bargaining stage is where you may even feel guilt and think that you could have done something differently. You may even think, if I had given him more attention, he wouldn't have cheated, or if I didn't make her or him so angry, he wouldn't have hit me. If I'd lost weight, he'd find me more attractive, or maybe we can be friends. This is where we fall into the friends with the ex place. I heard a I read somewhere once that this comment where someone had said, if you have a friend that is asking you, if you have an ex that is asking you to be his or her friend, it's almost like your kidnapper asking you to please keep in touch after they've let you free. Some situations, an ex cannot be a friend. And if you think about it, think about what the true definition of a friendship is. If it's a friendship, let's just say, and I'm just going to use the example of from a female perspective, because I can only speak from a female perspective. If I have a female friend, someone that I have defined as my friend because they're worthy of that title, it's someone that I trust, someone I know that will, you know, have my back, someone that will be there for me when I need them, someone who will motivate me, inspire me, that will do everything that they can to help me be a better person, and in return, I give the same. So it's a reciprocal relationship, and we define that we are going to be there for each other in those terms. Well, if you're in a relationship with someone and it goes bad and it ends, how could that person move from being your partner that you're intimate with and they broke some trust or they did something that the relationship ended, but now you're going to go from them being someone that you're in a relationship with to just being your friend? Because in every relationship, you have to establish a friendship first. So now you're saying, well, we were in a relationship together and we started the relationship. We were the best of friends, and then it moved to something more meaningful, and we just, you know, something happened. He did something. I did something, or she did something, but now we're not together anymore. But, yeah, that person's my friend. But if they broke the chain of trust, or they did something that caused you to not want to be in a relationship with them, how do you go back to being that person's friend? But it happens. But what I want to talk about tonight is how that place is not truly a friendship. It's a means of holding you hostage. And again, it can be the I don't want you, but I don't want anybody else to want to have you, or could just simply be, I want you only the way that I want you, not the way that you want me. At this point, I want to give an opportunity for, you know, anyone that's on the call. I know my co-host is Sarah Lynn is on with us. I'm still waiting for James to come on the show with us tonight, and I'm sure once he comes on, he will have a very interesting perspective to our topic for the show tonight. But I think at this point, I want to talk about, before I even discuss the steps, because I think we want to talk about the situations that we've all been in, the scenarios that could possibly result in this type of relationship happening, this form of becoming a hostage or even holding someone hostage. Let's just talk about the experiences that someone may have or even know of that really identifies this type of relationship. I see right now James is on the show with us tonight. I mean, I can't even imagine how fast he got off from work to be able to join us. So I want to welcome James. And also, since I see that Sarah Lynn is with us, I will bring both of the co-hosts on the show tonight and tell y'all I am so excited for y'all to be on the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for being back. Thank you for having me back.
Well, of course. James.
Hey.
Did you have fire under your feet getting out of work tonight?
Yeah, you could have seen the way I got out that door today.
I can only imagine. So let me ask you guys, do you think that this is a topic that, I mean, I know it was a topic that James, you and I discussed that, you know, we were going to talk about tonight. So, I mean, what do you guys think? This is something that doesn't happen often or it happens quite a lot?
It happens quite a lot. Quite a lot. And people stay in relationships for different reasons, but one of the reasons that people stay in relationship and get themselves to be a hostage situation is a lot of people are afraid to go out. A lot of people spend a lot of time in that relationship, and they don't even know how to start to become a single person anymore. So they do that to themselves. They hold themselves hostage because they're afraid to venture out. So it happens more times than anybody can imagine.
Wow. I didn't even think about that a person could be holding themselves hostage. See?
Yeah,
see what happens when we start talking.
When we start talking.
I didn't hear you, James.
Oh, you said what happens when who starts talking?
No, I'm just saying this is what happens when we start talking. It's like you learn things or you figure out things. I mean, I didn't even think of the perspective of how we hold ourselves hostage in a relationship because we're afraid.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that. I agree. I was getting ready to say that. I agree because you could have an ex who don't want nothing to do with you, and he or she will not answer your phone calls, change their phone number, and all this other stuff, but here you are still holding on to something that you felt for this person who did you so wrong or wants nothing to do with you. So basically, a lot of people do it to themselves. But then you also have those who, both persons are still having feelings for each other. One may have moved on to another relationship, but they're still dragging the ex along with their mutual feelings for each other. But it's just not as deep as the other person.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's... Go ahead, Sherilyn.
What about the people out there who held hostage by finances?
Oh, God.
Oh.
They cannot afford to move. They have nowhere to go. They're never prepared for anything. But yet still they're in this relationship where, oh, I'm so in love that everything that you have is tied up with the other person. And when it comes down to it, you're not prepared. You're not prepared to venture out to run your own financially. So now you have to depend on this person to keep a roof over your head. And you're begging the Lord every day for it not to end because you don't know what to do. What about those?
Well, I will just simply say this. When you said that, I am going to be perfectly honest. I got up and poured myself a drink.
Okay, because you know how true that one is.
And I just need to remind James that we haven't had a drink in the Red Room in quite a while, so we need the bartender and you to come back so we can have our libations for the show because we feel real.
I was supposed to mention that last week. To mention that last week. What's up, James?
I've actually been thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have come up with a drink for sex with the ex. That would have been very, very interesting.
Hey.
I'm going to comment on what Sherilyn said, and I'm going to comment, and again, like I said, every week on the show, I share. I have opened up my past in my book, and I have no problem sharing the experience that I've had. And the reason I say that is because we have to learn from just experiences that other people have. And I feel like if I can share something that I've been through that will help someone else, then by all means, I will share. Being held hostage in a relationship because of finances I can't even find the words to discuss it, but I can say personally, I was that person. I was married and for 7 years did not work. I had businesses that, you know, home-based businesses, things that I had done from home to bring in income. I worked in real estate, several different things, but my husband was the breadwinner. And when things went bad, I can honestly say I was hoping, I was praying, I was wanting it to work, even though deep down inside I knew that it was over because I had no way to make a living. So I guess the lesson that should be learned from that, if there's anyone out there that is in a relationship where you are held hostage because of the finances, find a way to, and I know this may sound, you know, kind of like sneaky, but find a way to set some money aside for yourself. If you have to do it so that you can maintain for a while so you can break free, just like any kind of hostage situation. If you think about, you know, anyone who is literally held hostage by someone who has kidnapped them, they are always thinking of a way to break free. And if the finances is the hostage, is what's holding you hostage, you have to make plans. You have to prepare and figure out what can I do so that at some point, I'll be able to break free of this. That's a very difficult one, and I really and truly didn't know we were going to go in that direction, but it's a situation that truly, you know, can keep you in a relationship that you know is not going to work, it's not going to get any better, and it's only going to end, but you stay in it only because you know I cannot survive financially. I cannot, you know, my livelihood is dependent upon him or her, and you stay in the relationship because of that. No one understands. Neither one of the parties involved are going to be happy. Neither one of them are. So,
Shelly, I have another
one. Thank you for bringing that. Uh-oh, go ahead.
I have another one. The children.
Mm.
The wife doesn't want to go because she knows if she leaves, she's not going to see her children anymore. The husband doesn't want to leave because he would never see his children anymore. I could go on and on and on of all the hostages out there that prevent somebody from turning the next leaf in their life. We are all scared of something, but, you know, the thing about it is, the children do survive, the husband do survive, the wife learns to survive, but we all have to take the step. We need to learn how to take that step to go to the next chapter because we never know what that next chapter has in store for us. And if we never took that leap of faith, I know a lot of people out there right now count their blessings because It was brought upon them in a bad way, but it ended up being a really good thing. Hear me? Shelly?
Did we lose her?
I think we lost her. I blew her away with that speech.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Y'all have to understand, tonight was like, I had to mute my phone. Tonight was one of those nights where I had, like, so many different things going on because I got home from work late, but I cannot cancel the show because the show must go on. So I muted my phone. I apologize. I will not do that again. But please excuse any background noise you hear, but I am so focused right now, and we're on. Sherilyn, what you said was just truly, it really was a situation that I know personally that happens. Two people stay together because of the children, and it could be a situation where, you know, maybe the husband and the wife, they separated because, you know, something happened. But then, I mean, and let's be realistic about this. In the world we live in today, if you are married and you have children, and even if you're not married, the children go with the mother. And she may not be the best mother in the world, but she still gets the kids. And if the father is the one who is the better parent, he still doesn't get the kids. So, you know, it's like, what, does he stay in the relationship or does she stay in the relationship? However it works, someone makes the decision, we may not want to be together, we're not the best together, but we're going to do it for the kids. It happens. And it's all I can say is that has to be a choice that the two people make, but no one understands. Two unhappy parents together, I don't care how you want to dress it up and make it look good. Kids know. They sense things. And I also say this. If there are two parents that are together just because of the kids, make sure you're together and you put on the front in front of the kids. What goes on behind the scenes, the kids should never know. Because if that's the purpose of you staying together, you should paint that picture so the kids see a happy mother and father. Because if not, what are you together for? Because kids really and truly, I will say this, we set an example for our children. So I'm not going to go off on a tangent on that, but that is definitely one of the situations where people are held hostage in a relationship. Sherilyn, you just kind of threw some kinks up into this that I wasn't even expecting to. I mean, I do my research. I have my notes. When you throw things in like that, it's like I'm taking notes instead of reading from my notes.
Well, you know, I got to keep you on your toes.
I know,
and
you do. Between you and James, y'all just like, okay, she wants to think. I'm going to give her something to think about. I love it. If I'm thinking, yes, we need those moments. That's how we learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, James, I know she threw a lot at us. Go ahead. It's your turn.
Did we lose James now?
I don't know. Did we lose
James? Did I know what?
I think he's in the background thinking of a drink right now.
You said what?
I think we thought we had lost you. I thought we didn't lose you. You were back there thinking about a drink for the show.
Well, I'm still en route on my way home. I'm also at this store, these rude-ass people, excuse my French. But, do I know what? I heard part of it, but I don't think I heard it clearly.
I mean, I guess we're just talking about the different situations. I mean, we talked about the topic for the show. And you know, what's interesting is James and I have conversation. We talk about the show, and we talk during the week without, you know, topics for the show, but just general topics. I mean, he's getting ready to have his book published, so we share, you know, writer things, so we have conversations. But it's like Sherilyn, I can call her the day of the show and tell her what the topic is, and she'll just say, okay. And then when the show comes, she just it's like she just swings the door open to the red room and walks in, and it's like, okay, how about this? How about that? And it just makes you think, well, where did she get that from? I wasn't even thinking about that. So when you have a radio show and the host and the co-host and just make each other think, it's just one where I have to say, if anyone, when anyone listens to the show, it has to make them think too. And that's what this is all about. So at this point, since Sarah Lynn just threw all of this in here, I know there's the situations that we talked about. It can, you know, hold you hostage. But I want to ask this. Before I even go into this next step, I want to say this. Because I want to talk about the steps to break free. But there may be someone that's listening that may not have heard anything that they can identify with. That says, oh, no, that wasn't me. I wasn't held hostage because of finances, because I never depended on anybody for my finances. Or I was never held hostage in a relationship because of, you know, kids. We never had any kids together. I want to see, at this point, is there anyone on the show tonight that's listening that has either had a personal experience or knows someone else that has been held hostage in a relationship for whatever reason. If you have something to share, please press 1 on your phone and share with us. And, you know, we definitely want to open it up for discussion to talk about other ways that a person could have been or has been held hostage in a relationship. We have one caller who wants to share. I'm going to open up the line for caller with the last four numbers, 4869. Caller, welcome to the Red Room. Thank you so much for being on the show. Please tell us what it is that you'd like to share.
Thank you for welcoming me. I wanted to share that I was once held hostage with the threat of public humiliation. And the public humiliation would be that I dated a DJ. And, you know, I was young and naive and thought, you know, doing intercourse and stuff like that, the relationship, it's okay to, you know, exaggerate, make all these noise that you think comes with having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a week or two after, I decided, I want to break up with my boyfriend. So I told him, you know what? I think it's time we go our separate ways, and because I'm no longer, you know, interested in being with you. And he said, oh, really? He said, I have something for you. So I said, well, what could that be? I thought it was a parting gift. Little did I know. He held up a CD in his hands, and he said, remember when you were making all that noise? And he started to mock me and said, like, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. He said, well, I got it on tape. He said, so I will decide when this relationship is over, okay? So I was like, oh, my God. I was like maybe like 22, 23. So, you know, you're thinking, oh, my God, you're thinking if this comes out, you know, it's like really humiliating. And I decided, okay, I'll continue. I wouldn't stay in the relationship, and I stayed. But every time I went to the club that he DJed in, he would hold up that CD in the air and, you know, this is in the club.
Oh, my God.
He would hold the CD up in the club. Now, I'm sitting at the table with maybe 5 or 6 girlfriends, you know, and he would just have this little smile on his face, and he would look over and he would show me the CD, and I was like, I wouldn't tell anybody what was going on. But eventually it got to the point where I said to him, you know what? Go ahead and play the effing CD if you want. I am done. Because I'm thinking to myself, if he plays this, he's going to lose his job. He probably didn't even have me on tape. But, you know, he's older than me, and he's probably saying to himself, she is going to fall for this. So, you know, in the long run, I ended up giving him I made the decision, I am not going to be held hostage and stay in this relationship. If you want to go ahead and play it, go ahead and play it. And I left. So I want to know.
Wow.
I consider that being held hostage. You know,
it was. It was public humiliation. I mean, that's a good one. That definitely is. Let me ask you this, caller. How long after he threatened you with the CDs did you stay, did you remain a hostage? How long after that did you just simply say, I've got to stay in this relationship, and before you actually broke free?
I think I basically stayed with him for about 2 months after that. And it, you know, I kind of started to play different scenarios and realized probably doesn't even have, you know, he probably doesn't even have anything on a CD. So he's just
when he came home,
playing on my immaturity, you know. So about 2 months after, I just threw in the towel and said, just go ahead. I don't really don't care at this point, because I think if you show someone the opposite of what they expect, it kind of fizzles.
Right.
You know, it loses its ground.
Well, I mean, that just brought to my mind, I mean, when you said that, it just brought to, I just had a visual of the whole what if someone held, I mean, and at this point you said it was a CD, but with all of the technology that we have today, you have people that mm-hmm. have cell phones and they can videotape everything.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're held hostage in a relationship because, and I'm not even going to think that this is not possible, because I'm just going to say, with social media the way that it is, I've seen pictures of women that have posted things of themselves, the pictures of men that have posted, you know, that they have posted of themselves. What if there's the relationship where someone is holding you hostage because you just made the infamous video? And now you want to end the relationship because they've broken the trust circle, or they're just not going in the direction that you're going in, or whatever reason the relationship ends, but they use that as the reason why. You can't leave me, because if you do, I'm just going to send this video. Remember that night we both had this great experience? Yeah, I videotaped it. And I'm going to send it out to all your friends. I'm going to post it on YouTube.
And this,
what
and
you
this was not a video. This was an audio, you know?
Right,
this was not
was
a video.
Audio.
It was an audio. Right.
Right. Well, you could easily dispute that, because let's just say, you could say, oh, well, I don't know who that is. It's not me. But what do you, let's just talk about the whole thought process of what if there's a video? What if you've taken nude pictures? What if, you know, there's a video. And now you've decided this relationship doesn't work for me, so I don't want to be in this anymore. And they tell you, well, no, this is not how this is going to end, because if you want to walk away, guess what? I will send this video to all your friends. I'll put it on YouTube. What do you do in a situation like that?
You have to know the person. You have to know the person who is making the accusation, because let's say that person is just grandstanding. You know, he wants to see what the other person is going to do. What if that other person calls him bluff the first time out? You know what I mean?
Right.
You have to know the person who is actually making the statement, because I would have called him bluff, because I think I know the caller. I think I know the caller, but I would have called that person bluff.
Okay. James, what do you think? What do you do if somebody just, you know, threatens you like that? And this kind of really kind of segues into the next topic for the show tonight, is the sex with the ex. But what happens if that is the thing that they threaten you with?
I just told my friend I wish a nigga would. I wish my would hold a CD to my face of us doing the stuff. Talking about you gonna all my friends. First of all, I'm giving it to my friends. They'd have probably seen it anyway. But No, I'm sorry. There's no way you're going to hold me in something I don't want to be in. I don't care who you show it to. You can show it to my mama for all I care. You ain't going to hold me out to go
over CD.
I agree. Call
me
bluff.
Because you could put a really interesting twist on that and be like, oh, yeah, that was me making all them noises, but it wasn't enough to keep me with him.
Exactly.
Guess what? So, as much and then you can, I was getting ready to say, I mean, we could go back to one of the topics that we had on the show. Yeah, I did. That was me. I did sound great, didn't I? But guess what? I was faking it.
But guess what?
And you can believe me.
But guess what? Here's the other part to that statement. Oh, that was me. Sounds like if I was having a good time. But what happened to the other person? Did I shut them up?
Right. Yeah, that was me making all the noise. Well, what was he saying? I think he was quiet.
Now, I do have a different scenario, a quick one. I wasn't really held hostage, but I was trying to prevent a bad situation from happening, but an ex of mine basically threatened to walk in the middle of the street during traffic on Greenbelt Road if I made it official that I was leaving them.
That was a good one. I like that.
But it's true. He was really walking on Greenbelt Road. I was at work or something and was like, I'm about to walk in the middle of traffic and get hit by a car.
Wow.
And I would say, go ahead.
Well, I did say why.
No, I said wow. I didn't say why. I said wow.
And I would say, go ahead.
You know
if
what?
If you don't have enough self-esteem, if you don't have enough, but, you know, the thing about it is in these modern times, you tell somebody go ahead and they fool them actually do it, then you'll feel bad, you know? Because these days, I don't know where people's heads are.
Well, see, what I was taught or what I've learned is that everybody who's talking about suicide and saying they're going to do it, they're not really, 9 times out of 10, they're not really going to do it. If you're really that serious about doing it, you're not going to tell anybody.
It's true, and I agree with that statement. It's very, very true. They're cowards. They're really serious cowards. The first thing they're going to do is that nobody who wants to commit suicide, you ever hear about it. They just do it. 99% of the time, they just do it. They don't tell anybody if they really want to end their life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not even going to tell you Sherilyn's point of view for if you tell her you want to kill yourself. Okay, I'm going to tell. She'll be like, oh, okay, so how do you want to do it? Do you want a knife, gun, pills, or do I need to take you to a bridge? I'm sorry. We probably shouldn't be laughing about this, but it's like you said, person decides... When a person gets to the point where they just want to threaten suicide and use that to hold you hostage in a relationship, no one understands that there's something seriously wrong there. And you got to do whatever you need to do to really get out of that situation. You definitely have to get out of that situation.
Shelly, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not that you guys are making fun or laughing. It's not that you're just laughing just because, but you're not laughing at the situation. Because when you ask that person, when you tell that person who you ask them, how do you want to do it, when, why, what for, it's not that you really want them to do it, but you're trying to, like I said, the people expect a reaction from you. And when you don't give them that reaction that they expect, it kind of puts them in an uncomfortable situation. They have to reassess the situation and then then realize, okay, it's a waste of time, you know. So it's not like you're making fun of them by asking them how, where, why, and what. Not that you truly want them that you're trying to assist. It's that you're trying to snap them out of it. You know what I mean? And, like, if somebody says they're going to commit suicide, it's a good thing because at that point they're asking for help, you know. The ones who go ahead and do it, The ones who just go ahead and do it with no notice, nothing whatsoever, that was, their illness was so far gone that there was no turning back, you know?
Right.
But the ones who
really
announced it
for
help, right.
Right.
But I know there's so much, Shelly, before we go on, there's so much numbers out there. If anybody out there, let's be serious for 2 minutes, there's so much people out there that's ready to listen to anybody who think their life is over. There's help. True, there truly is somebody out there to listen. So my thing is just pick up the phone. I don't care if it's a stranger, if it's your cousin. If one don't listen, go to the next.
Absolutely.
But
there are some people that are in relationships that end that are so devastating that they don't know where to turn. They don't know what's the first step. They don't know what to do. And there's some people, and I will say this, there's some people that can be in relationships where one person ends it and they don't hold you hostage. I know this show is about being held hostage in a relationship, but if you're not held hostage, you may not have no clue as to what do I do next. And you feel like I can't tell anybody because I'm so ashamed. We've been together for all these years, and everybody thinks that we thought we were the perfect couple. And now this person has just totally walked away from me and left me, and I don't even know what to do. But they can't talk to anybody. But like Sarah Lynn said, pick up the phone and call somebody. If it's somebody that you've only known for a short period of time, I can guarantee you, if you call that person and say, hey, you know what, I know we're not close, but right now I'm in a situation where I desperately need somebody to talk to. I just can't even imagine the person on the other end of the phone saying, well, I don't really know you like that, so I'm not the one you need to talk to. But if that does happen, just simply say okay and call somebody else. You have to find a way to turn to someone, because not everyone is able to handle a relationship ending like other people can. Yes.
And I think in situations like that where someone is so depressed that they want to commit suicide, my thing is one more day. Just wait for one more day. The situation that happened Tuesday may have been so dramatic, deadly, disappointing, etc. But just wait one more day before you do what you want to do, commit suicide on that one day. Wait one more day. You don't know what is going to happen the one more day. You know, things definitely may be better. Situations may open up where you're able to get that help. But just give it a chance, one more day. And open your mouth and voice what's happening in your life. Because it may not be a relative, but it may be a friend. It might just be a stranger. You may be sitting on a bench, but people do not know what's going on in your mind. You have to say it in order for people to know what's going on, in order to get help.
One more day. I like that. One more day, because today could be this way and you could feel this way today, but tomorrow you could feel totally different. And that just kind of goes into, part of the steps that I want to talk about and how you can free yourself from being a hostage and break free from the relationship. But before we go through that process, I'm going to go through those steps, but I want to talk about the last part that we had, that the show tonight is supposed to be about. And I'm just going to say, this is the part where it's so many people that get caught up into this part of the ex relationship that they don't even see it. Both parties sometimes can look at themselves and kind of pat themselves on the back and feel like that they're gaining something or that it does something for their ego because of it. But sex with the ex, really? If that person didn't want you to be in a relationship with you, why are you going to share the most intimate part of the relationship that you had with this person? I'm sorry. If that person didn't want you anymore, or you didn't want that person anymore, I don't give a shit how good the sex was. why are you still going back there? I mean,
it was that good.
It couldn't have been that good. It couldn't have been that good that the only thing you, but let's just, and I'm going to give a scenario. There's this relationship where somewhere, somehow, over a period of time, things went bad. Whether he cheated, she cheated, he wouldn't do the dishes, she was a slob and wouldn't clean the house and didn't cook. Y'all lived together, you didn't live together. Something went wrong in the relationship. You couldn't deal with her badass kids. His baby mama gave you too much drama. Whatever happened in the relationship, and it's a whole bunch of different scenarios that you can give. But somehow, some way, this relationship didn't work, and you decided to go your separate ways. Somebody was hurt. Somebody was hurt worse. But the end result is y'all aren't together anymore. There's the distance. You don't talk to each other. One person goes home, you know, and they cry for a week or so, and it's, oh, I miss that person so much. And then there's that one phone call. One person reaches out to the other. Hey, I was just calling to see how you're doing. I'm okay. Well, you know, I was thinking maybe I could come by and just, you know, just make sure you were okay.
And
the
they
girl,
come by and they
like that.
Doing it.
Right now, as soon as he says that, well, I just thought I would come by to make sure you're okay. Right now, at that point, she has run down the hall, opened up the underwear drawer, and pulled out the red-hot fanny. She's got the shower running before you can even hang up because she already knows. He knows and she knows what that means. So y'all fall into the trap of all it is sex with the ex. Really? His baby mama drama was too much for you to stay with him. Or he couldn't deal with the fact that you didn't want to work and all you were doing was using him for his paycheck. And I'm not saying that these are all relationships where the guy is wrong, because there's a whole bunch of women out there that don't do their part in relationships just like there are men. I totally disagree with some of the stereotypes that are placed on men and say that most relationships end because men cheat. That is not the case, because there's just as many women out there cheating that get caught. Well, I won't say they get caught, because they usually don't get caught as quickly as the men do, but they do still cheat. But for whatever reason the relationship ended, why would you go back to that place? Because all that's doing is holding someone hostage. I'm sorry. Did I go off on a tangent?
No.
Shelly, yes. I am going to take the high road right now, okay? And I am going to defend all the women and men who went back together again. I am going to defend them right now. And here, what is my defense, okay? I grew up. I never knew I had it so good until I left. We have too much years together to not realize we had it so good. And guess what? They just needed to grow up and understand things do happen. Learn to talk. Learn to communicate. And when these things happen, guess what? A light bulb goes off, and guess what? I really, really never looked at it that way. Communication kills relationships. Relationships end up in the pits. They go back together. They get married 2, 3, 4 times after because they never learn to communicate. And when they do get it, guess what? It's back on.
And I can
understand that. We have to give them credit. We have to give them credit for those. We have to give those credit because they learned something.
Absolutely. There are some relationships that sometimes when the people come together, they're not mature enough to be in the relationship. They're still growing, and they don't know how to grow together. So they end up growing separately, and they have to move apart to be able to grow apart from each other, to come back to each other and be able to grow together. I totally agree with you. But I'm on this whole sex with the S thing. Because I'm sorry, if you separate because one person is not mature enough in the relationship and, you know, one person has grown more than the other, one person communicates more than the other person, then I understand that. But when we have those situations where one person has hurt the other for whatever reason, and they go their separate ways, but yet they still want to continue the intimate part of it. It's like...
Because their relationship was built on one thing and one thing only.
That's what I wanted to hear somebody else say.
It was only built on one thing, and people can't understand that a relationship cannot be built on sex. You have to have all the other components. If you don't have any other components, you go back to the sex.
And then that's kind of like that's the area that I was thinking. Go ahead, Jane.
I was going to say that's part of the reason why a lot of people try to use the 90-day rule. Because if you go right into it and it's all sex, then, you know, that's all you're going to have. You're not going to have a friendship to go back on. You're not going to have good times going out and, you know, thinking about having kids and stuff. All you're going to think about is how good the sex was or how bad it was. And if the sex was bad, then that's from the jump. That's the first thing you base your relationship off of. Then you're not going to have a successful relationship.
But it sometimes doesn't boil down to the sex. The sex could be bad or the sex could be good, but it depends on where you came from, you know. It's foundation, because some people do not have anyone to rely on. And whether that sex is good or the sex is bad or the man is treating them good, bad, or different, they do not have somewhere else to go. It may seem like if it's sex that's causing them to go back, but sometimes it can be they don't have family support, and that's the reason why they keep going back to the relationship. People may think it's a sex thing, but it's not necessarily sex with the ex. It's like you're dependent on that person. Some people could just walk away from a relationship, and, I mean, like myself, click your heels, 3 times. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Because I can walk out of that relationship and go and be received by relatives, family. But not everybody have that support. So it's not necessarily sex with the ex. It could be you want someone that's going to, you think that person is your support. It may see, from the outside, people are always quick to say it's sex. But if you don't have family support and you're getting support from that abuse or that person with a small you-know-what or whatever, you still run to that person. You know what I mean?
You're
going to keep going back. But somebody like myself, you know, I know I could say hands up and I could rely on my, you know, and I could stay by myself for years, but not everybody are like that. In a gay relationship, Shelley, before you say anything, in a gay relationship, I am guilty of this. We assume gay people are at home, locked up, having sex 24/7. That's what we think. We just think it's about sex, it's about sex, it's about sex. And I was put in my place one time. I asked a gay guy, a gay patient of mine, I asked him, I said, do you guys have sex all the time? He said, that's a misconception you guys have. You guys think it's all about sex in a gay relationship. It's not about that. You're not getting love from maybe your parents or your family or whatever, and you meet this one person who's giving you all of that and then some, and you're going to stay with that person. Whether gay relationship, straight relationship, there's abuse and there's love. But they go back to that abuse or whatever it may be because they feel safe, they feel wanted, and that person, people are so conniving, they will learn all of your traits and hold that traits just in the palm of their hand because they know they can twist and turn you in whatever form or fashion and get you to do whatever it is they need you to do. So it's not always sex with the ex. We think, it's our society think everything is about that three-letter word, S-E-X, but it's not always the case.
And that is so true.
Very true.
But
I'm glad you said that, Sarah.
That was actually,
that wasn't even Sarah Lynn.
That was Marcia.
Oh,
she doesn't want to identify herself, but she's called out. I'm sorry.
You just did.
But go ahead, James.
But no, yeah, I'm so glad you said that because the gay lifestyle is really perceived in so many ignorant and incorrect ways. And Shelly, you and I have had many conversations about this, but no, gay relationships are not all about sex. It may be perceived that way because of how promotions go out for parties and how the shows are and movies and such like that. But no, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, whatever you want to call them, relationships are not all about sex. And that, a lot of times, they're more healthy relationships than heterosexual relationships. I hate to say it, but from my experience, it's true.
I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I think that's a misconception of what so many people have of just, you know, relationships and, I mean, we talked about this on one of the other shows that we have with the co-parenting and, you know, with just, you know, relationships, just straight relationships, gay relationships, and how people just kind of put their focus on stopping one thing, but they don't work on something else. I mean, we talked about how, you know, it just really irritates me that people are so busy running around saying, you know, no gay marriage, no gay marriage. How about straight people work on getting marriages right before they try to stop something that they don't even understand. So, but I think what I really was trying, the point that I was really trying to make with the sex with the ex is how it is, and all relationships aren't about the sex, but I guess what added that piece into the show for tonight, for the topic for the show tonight, came from just me supporting someone who is in a relationship that is ending, and she cannot walk away. I mean, this woman is having the hardest time walking away because every single time he becomes her ex, and she gains the strength and she gets the courage to be able to say, I deserve so much more. I know that this is not who I need to be with for the next 6 months, the next year, or the rest of my life. The one thing that draws her back into the relationship is because they've had this explosive sexual relationship. In their relationship, they've had friendship. They were friends. They spent time together. They shared interests together. But it was like that was the one piece that, you know, he broke the trust issue. I mean, he crossed the threshold of trust. And when she found that out, it made her realize, I can't keep doing this. But the one, and this is probably about the fifth or sixth time in 3 years that she's been through this cycle with him. And no matter how long she goes through the process of you know, trying to move forward, the one piece that he uses to draw her back in is the sex. And it's not just her. Several people that I have talked to have said, yeah, her and I didn't work out well together, but the sex with her was the bomb. That chick, she just did some amazing things. So my question was, so is that all that's there with you in the relationship now? Yeah, pretty much. So are you in a relationship with someone else? Yeah, but, you know, we still see each other. Is she in a relationship with somebody else? No, not that I know of. So unconsciously or either consciously, that person is using sex to hold that other person hostage. They don't want to be with that person anymore, but they know that if as long as they are using that piece, they can keep that person, you know, in a somewhat kind of pseudo relationship with them. So I think that's
Shelley,
where the whole yeah,
Shelley,
go ahead.
You know what I have to
yes.
say? You know what I have to say on that subject? It happens every day, and you know what it's called? Crack.
Yeah, friends.
Crack cocaine.
It's called crack.
It's called crack cocaine, and you know the thing about it is it happens every day. People out there hooked on crack. It's the same thing. And they have
so they
to
have
find the will. They have to find the will and the way to stay away from the crack because the crack is not good. In the long run, the crack is not good.
Crack is whack, according to Whitney. Is that what she said?
Yes.
Okay.
Crack is whack.
Yes.
No disrespect, Whitney.
I'm laughing only because I just never know what to expect when it comes to Sarah Lynn. I'm so glad this show is not scripted because I wouldn't get she wouldn't get the response from me and I wouldn't hear what she has to say. But her and I have had this conversation about the crack. And there are some people that you can have in your life that just pretty much represent the addiction of that kind of drug. And if you've heard anything about how crack cocaine works, is the first time, I've seen the TV shows, I've seen the medical reports, and they talk about how the very first time you use that drug, it takes you to this state of euphoria like you've never experienced before. But after that first time, all you're doing is chasing it, trying to get back to experience that very first time that you felt that way.
I've been there.
But each
and
every time you think to yourself, I can get there, I can get there, I can get there. And even in the relationship, you keep thinking you can, but when the relationship is over, it's even worse because now you feel like, I can get back to the very first time we had sex, how mind-blowing it was, how it took us to a place that we had never, ever been before together or even apart from each other. And that's why it creates that kind of addiction. So I say again, and I won't waver from this, sex with the ex is an addiction. It's mm-hmm. and it's a means of control and a means of manipulation. Somebody is controlling, manipulating somebody in that relationship. Because if you didn't work together as a couple with the sex and the friendship and the responsibilities of what it takes to be in a relationship together, why are you going to go aside from all of that because it didn't work and only pick out that one piece? Because as long as you're having sex with the ex, you're never going to move forward. Because you are not going to get the great guy who is willing to give his heart to you, the great woman who is, you know, willing to show you how much of a queen that she is if you have still having sex with the ex.
Kelly, but I have something to add there. That person you just described, the male in that relationship is the victim. And from what the male is the victim because you said other people who have voice that sex with that female is so great. Isn't that what you said?
Well, I mean, a man can say that and a woman can too. I mean, because, you know, when a woman comes across a guy that doesn't have a pencil penis and he holds it down like she's never had anybody do before, and now the relationship doesn't work. He knows.
Yes, but did you say so? It's a specific female you're referring to? Or is this in general?
Yes. So the situation that I described, it is the female who is having the problem with breaking free of the person because of she's still having sex with the ex.
That's what I understood. And it's her, she is using, the man is in a sense, she thinks or she's listening to what men tells her in the relationship. She is so phenomenal. She is so great. She's out of this world. And whatever she's doing, no one has done it for them before. And so
no, she's saying no one has done it for her like this. That's why she keeps going back, because she's saying no one has done it for her like this ever before.
So then she's the one, you going back, she's the one who's using the male. She's not a victim.
No, she's not.
She's not a victim. She is using
the
man.
She's
an info. She's just using him. And the thing
I
about
know,
her,
so
listen,
more than a while.
Shelly, listen, whisper in her ear and tell her you can train anybody to do what it is you want to do. So she doesn't have to keep going back. She can train a new dog to do the tricks that she wants.
Yeah, yeah.
So she doesn't have to, she is using him. She is not the victim. So walk up to her ears and say, let me tell you this. You can train a new dog or an old dog to do the tricks. Okay? She is not the victim. She is using the man.
Definitely not. I agree. She is not the victim there. She is the pursuer. She is the one with the problem, not him.
She's finding people, I mean, the everyday woman, not me, who's going to fall for her little garbage that she's feeding. But she is not the victim.
So when she takes two steps forward and she begins her process of celebrating the fact that it's been a week since I've talked to him, it's been a week since I've replied back to his text messages, and then all of a sudden, you know, he sends her this message that makes her say, oh, okay, I remember what it was like. It's been a whole week versus every single day. She's gone through withdrawal, as she calls it, for a week. So when he reaches out to her and offers, he's the victim and not her.
He is the victim. Let me tell you this. This is 2013. If you want, you can take that phone that you have in your hand and you can make it ring. And I can think, oh my God, Shelly just got a call. And Shelly could be calling Shelly. So you have to, let me tell you, you have to speak to that male and you find out if exactly what she's telling you is true. Because people could tell you a lot of garbage and you can listen to it and be sympathetic and you believe it. But they can make themselves just as much a victim. This is 2013. She can send her own self a damn text message. So let me tell you, she is not the victim.
And you know the other thing too, is what she, and sometimes in these kind of cases, they actually ride these men with things. They go out of their way for these men. If you give a man something, he was never, most of the time, never turn it down. Why would he? It's free. Why buy the car when you can get the milk for free?
We keep going back to other topics of the shows. I think that's very interesting.
No, because you keep saying, when you say sex with an ex, it sounds all, oh my God, there's a victim here. But there's so many different areas. When you sex in with the ex, you start off with sex with the ex, but it has so many different, like you say, what is the matrix that attaches itself to sex with the ex? At first, it seems like something, oh my God, there's a victim here. But when you extend yourself to the matrix of that sex with the ex, it brings you right back to question yourself.
She could be a very needy person. She could be a very, very needy person. And
any one of us on this line.
So I have a question for the two of you. And James, I need you to chime in.
James, say something.
Right. Are y'all telling me sex with the ex ain't bad?
No. No, I had a comment on that. Hello?
Go ahead,
yeah,
we're best friends.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I had a comment.
We're giving
on
you the undivided attention.
I can say sex with an ex is not bad. It's bad if you're in a relationship and you still go back to the ex having sex. That's a different situation. But I'll admit it. I'm probably shooting myself in the foot right now. But I have had exes that once we broke up, it was just sex. It was
ding,
like a
ding,
sporadic
ding,
thing.
Ding.
That's all it was. I would go visit. They would come visit just to say hi, see how the family's doing. Because, you know me, Michelle, you know, I'm a very caring person. I'm loving. I don't hate nobody.
Yes, right.
But what's done is done. We can still be friends. And just something happened, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Here we are in this situation, and we just having sex. But after that, that was it.
See? Back to the ex is not that bad.
It's not a bad thing.
I think sex with the ex,
it has to be really, really good for you to just say,
okay,
I need it. I ain't going to settle. Yeah, it has to be something really, really good. Tarzan and Jane kind of situation. Something really good for me to go back with sex with the ex, honestly. Once I'm gone, I'm gone.
That's no reason.
You are getting hit from the left, from the right.
Can I say something real quick? I'm having trouble deciphering between Sterling and Marcia with certain things that are being said. But I think that was Sterling that just made that comment.
I can't help it.
I want to say, I am so vain that when I leave a relationship, I ain't going back because I was in control of that sexual relationship. And when I leave, I am not going back because I am the one who, you have to make it what you want of it. And when I was involved with it, my performance was to make sure when I got there, I am the one going to make sure I'm coming out with some sort of fulfillment and enjoyment. So when I leave, I'm taking my skills with me. There's no need for me to go back.
And I am saying, I've never left an ex that I never could actually call up and say, meet me in the corner.
Maybe about a bathroom.
I could always call up and say, what you doing? So I am not one to break that one. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just have to say that I was expecting to take this in a different direction, but I can honestly say that I can totally understand. I'm not going to comment because I'm not going to put myself out there for that one. There's a lot of things that I will say about myself, but some things I'm going to leave alone. But I will say this. I wasn't expecting the sex with the ex to turn into. I was expecting you guys to say, oh, no, it's bad. Don't ever do it. That's just going in a direction that you don't want to go in. I was so expecting the you guys to go in a different direction. But, you know, it's almost like I'm starting to believe it really ain't a bad thing.
After all, we did say this is a show that we're not going to hold back. If we need to say something, we explain it.
We say it.
So you don't have to feel the need to hold back now.
Okay. There's only one ex. Only one that I can think of right off the top of my head. That just listening from the show tonight,
I'm just kind of rubbing my hands together. Can you hear it? Rubbing my hands together. Thinking, all this time I've been saying no. Oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, no, we're not together anymore. Oh, no, that would be going just in the wrong direction. I'm just thinking now. I'm not saying I'm going to do anything about it, but it did
somebody
open the door to thought.
I have to say one more thing. And I have to say one more thing. If anybody out there knows Shelly and I, our relationship, all I want to know, give me the play-by-play tomorrow. I am here to tell all the men.
No,
I am here to tell all the men on the phone that we do talk. They do talk about each other, about their women. We do talk about our men. So I am not denying it. I want play-by-play.
Girls talk. So you guys don't know it. Yes, we talk. We don't go into a lot of details. We just know the words that we use. You just know.
I beg to differ. I'll still battle that.
What?
But okay. Y'all share.
You don't think girls talk?
Y'all share everything.
I think
we had this conversation at one of our first shows, and I said the exact same thing, and I pissed like three of the ladies off that was on the call that night.
And
y'all talk
and
about everything.
And what was that?
When girls get together, they talk about everything that the lady and the man go through. Y'all don't hold no cut calls with your girls. Y'all know that. Yeah, why you gotta lie to me? I know.
We don't talk. You know what? I will say this. I think when people talk about how women men bash, I think that's the misperception. I think that women talk more about the good stuff than we do the bad stuff.
And that's
right,
true.
Right, you share openly. I'm not saying you man bash. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying y'all share detail by detail. And I know because I grew up around females. All majority of my friends are females. They
well,
share
we
with
don't
me
share
that.
Too much detail because we're smart enough to know not to share too much because too much, we don't share
too much.
Too much
opens the door for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. But the look on our face and the voice that they hear over the phone lets each other know. But I do want to say that there are situations where, I mean, I've come to realize just listening to you guys tonight that sex with the ex might not be too bad.
Wow,
but
we converted you.
You know how resistant I am to change. I'm not saying I'm there yet. But I'll say this thought is in my mind. But you know how my ego is because now if I give in, it'll almost be like it's breaking me. And
oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't do well with that because I will hold out. And, you know, my mother used to always say to me that it was this old saying from in the country. My mom used to always say to me, don't cut your nose off to spite your face.
Oh,
and I was like, what the heck does that mean? Don't cut your nose off to spite your face. But
you
it was almost like, don't shut out
burn
something.
Burn your bridges.
Yeah, don't burn your bridges, but don't not do something that you really want to do only for perception. Because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, you being you. So I'm just going to leave it at that and say thank you very much for opening my mind to the possibility of sex with the ex. I'm not saying that I'm going there. I'm not saying that I'm ready for that, but I'm glad that you gave me a different perspective on the whole idea and the topic. I mean, it wasn't where I was expecting it to go, but you gave me a different perspective because I didn't truly see how the person is not the victim. The person who's claiming to be the victim is actually not the victim. Because if they're opening a door to it, they actually are the one that's allowing themselves to be held hostage. And if you're allowing yourself to be held hostage when you're given an opportunity to set yourself free, then you're not actually a hostage. But what I want to do at this point is, yes,
Shelly, one thing that men and women have to understand, I think it's only in this country that we think sex is such a hush-hush thing still. And one thing people have to understand, and if they get this through their head, they would live longer and they would love life a little better. We only have one life to live. The Lord did not promise to bring us back. There's no promise note. There's no promissory note that we're coming back. Stop worrying about other people and live for yourself.
Absolutely. Because I remember reading a quote that Bob Marley wrote that said that in this life, and I'm not quoting him exactly, but in this life, if when I die, I can only be asked to be forgiven for my sins, why should I live my life the way you want me to do, the way you want me to live, which won't be free of sin? So at least if I'm asking to be forgiven, it'll be forgiven for what I wanted to do, not what you wanted me to do.
Amen.
So that is true. I totally agree with that. But what I want to do at this point is share what I had for anyone who, and no one understand that everyone who listens to the show may not be where we are. I think we are all very strong-minded, very resilient people where we are able to bounce back. We're able to see things that, you know we need to do, the direction that we need to go in. But everybody that listens to the show is not in that place. So there are some people who have been in a relationship that it ended and they didn't know how to really break free of that relationship. So what I want to do just for the last few minutes of the show is just to share a couple of points. And something that I also want to share where we talk about the addiction piece of it, because sometimes we can become addicted. I mean, we had the show, and I will tell you that one show had so many listens that it just truly amazed me. And every month the listens to that show is still continuing. And the topic for that show that we had, is it love or is it an addiction? Somehow, some way, that topic is touching people because of all the shows that we've done, that is the highest rated show that we've had of all the shows. So it touches someone somewhere when they go online to the archive shows, the Red Room Radio, they see that show and it's like, okay, what is it about this topic that, you know, there's something about the topic that makes them want to listen. So with that being said, there's some people that get into relationships, if something happens, it doesn't work, and one person chooses to end the relationship, whether it's the male or the female. But in either case, at some point when it's over, you have to figure out how to move on. And I talked about the five stages of grief in the beginning of the show that you will experience when you go through a relationship ending, which is the denial, the anger, the bargaining, which is when you usually fall into the we're not together anymore, but we can be friends, because that's the bargaining piece, to hold that person into your life or for that person to hold you hostage into their life. Then you go through the depression and then the acceptance stage. When you get to the acceptance stage, it's a huge step. You've gone through that process, and even in the bargaining stage, you may have toyed with the idea of that person being your friend, but I will say this, if in the relationship it didn't work, that person being your friend, it's not going to work either, because at some point, they're still going to cross the line of friendship, and true friendship doesn't cross lines, because if it does, it ends the friendship. So what I want to do is just talk real quick about just some steps that you can take on how to end a relationship. And I know none of us on that's actually live that's speaking right now can, you know, say that right now I'm going through this, because I think, you know, we all know where we are in our relationships. But there are people that are listening on the show live tonight,
and that there are people that are going to listen to the show that's archived that may be able to take this information and find it to be something that will be useful to them. When you eventually get to the point where you have truly accepted the fact that the relationship is over, it doesn't mean that you won't feel hurt by what has happened. But at some point, you will start to feel better about yourself, and that outweighs the pain that you'll still have. Also, the pain won't control your thoughts or your feelings. No matter how many times you've moved back and forth through the stages, because you will move through the stages, through all five stages. Sometimes you'll go through all five of them in the same day, same week. But no matter how many times you move back and forth through the stages or you experience the responses that come from those stages, that day will come where you know that you've made the best decision for yourself. And once you reach that stage of acceptance, you've grown. And it's almost like a new door will open to you. You'll begin to experience things and see things in a totally different light. And reaching the acceptance stage is a monumental victory. And it may not seem to be such a big thing for you, but it is. And it's one that truly should be celebrated. And I will say that, you know, this one person that broke up with she broke up with her boyfriend, and it was like she called her girls, and it was like, hey, we're getting together tonight for drinks. I just ended this relationship. I finally got out of it. Let's get together and celebrate for drinks. So when they toasted, you know, they were raising their glasses to toast to the celebration of her ending the relationship, I didn't raise my glass. And they all looked at me and said, Shelly, why are you not toasting? I said, because you know what? She just walked away. Celebrate when she's been away. She just walked away a few days ago. She's not there yet. We are supporting her right now. We're not celebrating with her right now. So when you get to that stage where you've accepted, truly accepted a relationship is over, that's when you celebrate. And you know when you've reached that point when you can admit that you're happy where you are instead of wishing you're where you used to be. And while you're experiencing those stages, there's certain things that you really need to do. And one thing, and all of the things that I'm talking about is from my book. And it's in the last chapter of the book, which most people don't even understand why it's in the last chapter, because the last chapter is probably, it's the most important chapter of the book. If you are no longer wearing shoes that hurt your feet, and if you are, it's where you want to be. The one thing that you want to do is you want to talk to friends. Marcia talked about having support from family, having support from friends. If you're feeling in that place of depression, call somebody, talk to somebody. But you have to talk to friends. But you want to choose friends that will support you and give you the comfort that you need to heal. Choose those friends that will remind you, that will not remind you of the negative things in that relationship that caused you to walk away or caused it to end. And also, aside from that, choose friends that won't flaunt the good things about their relationship. And that's important, because sometimes we choose people that we run to for comfort, and instead of them supporting us, the only thing they can do is, well, you know, you're broken. You're broken. This man that you thought was the best thing that ever happened in your life, and he was who you were going to spend the rest of your life with, it all went down the drain, and you're grieving. And you turn to a friend, and the support that they give you is, girl, you will not believe what Ray Ray did for me today. He came home, and he bought me flowers, and he bought me a new Gucci purse, and maybe I'm exaggerating to a different extent, but you don't want to confide in someone who's only going to highlight to you the best of what they have in their relationship. Choose people that are going to support you with what you're going through and not flaunt the good things that are happening in their life. And I say that from experience, because while I was in my process of recovering from my marriage ending, one of my best friends that I hadn't heard from in a few months, at some point she called just to see how I was doing. And she would always call me to check on me, is everything okay? And then, this one time we're talking, and this is months and months and months after, everything had happened, she called just to, just to catch up and see how I was doing. And, after we laughed about the drama that was in my life, which at that point was funny instead of being tearful, she said something that shocked me. She told me she was engaged. And I was listening to her, and I was like, okay, when did all of this happen? Because we have been talking for all this time, and the last year, everything has been going on with me. You never told me anything about you getting married. And I heard her describe him, and I listened to her talk about him, and I could hear her smiling through the phone, talking about this great relationship that she was in. And, I asked her, I said, I'm curious. I had to tell her that I was so happy for her, and I told her, I said, I'm curious, when did all this happen? She said, oh, about a year ago. And I said, a year ago? And I said, but why am I just hearing about this? And her response to me, it was one that made me know and understand that she truly was my friend. Not that I needed that to confirm it, but she said, there was no way I could tell you all of the great things that was going on in my life with my relationship when you were going through what you were going through. I couldn't do that to you. She said, I could only be a friend and support you and wait until I knew it was the right time to share with you my happiness. So, you've got to choose the right kind of friend to support you in the process of healing and recovering from your relationship. And I am just so excited because she's getting married to her Ruby Slipper next month. I think it's November 2nd, but I'm going to her bridal shower at the end of this month, and she just truly has been a friend. So know who you choose to be your friend when you reach out to them. Those are the ones that will unselfishly help you through your recovery. Second important piece to this is, don't place blame. Learn the lesson. When a relationship is over, you can talk about, you can look at what didn't work out. You can look at, what could have been, what was. But placing the blame, and you have to realize, your relationship might have been a 50-50 partnership, but that doesn't mean that 50% of when the relationship is over, that 50% of the responsibility for why it ended is on you. But at some point, you have to take a look at yourself and ask if you contributed to the reason why the relationship ended. So don't place blame. Learn the lesson from it. It's taken me 30-some years to learn the lessons that I had to learn to know and understand why some of my relationships ended. And I can't blame 100% the reason why they did on the other person. So that's so important. The longer you place the blame, the longer it takes you to heal. And this is another important piece I talk about is don't rush too quickly into meeting someone new. I mean, when I first became single, I was given the advice of, get back out there, start dating. But it didn't seem like a good idea because I was still hurting. I mean, I'll say again, I could have met a fabulous guy, but what if I met a guy and all we could talk about was, oh, yeah, I was married and my husband did this, and, our marriage ended because of that, and, yeah, I take responsibility for this, but then he did that. Really? Who wants to date me hearing that? Would I want to date a guy that talks about that? So just focus on healing first before you get back out there, because it's just not a good idea to start dating when you're still hurting. Another step is find and love yourself. We talk about, oh, I love me, but do you really love you? In my book, I give you 15 questions to ask yourself. And I will say this. When I wrote the 15 questions in the book, these were questions that I asked myself, but I'm going to be honest, I couldn't answer all 15 of them the first time I went through them. It took me at least a month and a half to be able to answer all 15 questions, and I wrote the book. So, but can I answer all 15 of them now? If I answer all 15 of these questions, I could write a book from the questions. because I've moved to that place where I know and understand who I am, and I do love myself, but it wasn't an easy process. It wasn't a quick process. It didn't happen overnight. And when you are in a relationship that ends and it causes you pain, you don't heal and recover quickly. So, and at some point, you give so much of yourself to a person that you're in the relationship with, you lose yourself. So you have to figure out who you are by yourself versus who you were in the relationship. If you want to know the questions, email me. It's too many of them to go through, and we only have a few minutes left on the show tonight. If you want to know those 15 questions, I encourage you to email me at ShellyLBrooks@gmail.com. Or if the other email address is info@theredroomradio.com. Either email address, if you send it to me, I will send you the 15 questions. They are also included in the last chapter of the book. If you want the book, I strongly encourage you to get it. You can get the book from www.shellylbrooks.com. I'm just too excited about helping right now. I can't even figure out the emails and the website. But the book you can get, These Shoes Hurt My Feet, ShellyLBrooks@gmail.com. Once you answer the questions and you answer them honestly, and I will say this, you will probably have to go through the process of answering these questions more than once, sometimes more than twice. Like I said, it took me 3 times, a month and a half, to go through and be able to answer the questions, because the ones I couldn't answer, I skipped. And then when I came back to them, you know, 15 days later, 30 days later, I was in a different place, so I was able to answer those questions. But I will say, it truly takes a strong person to be able to say, I did the work. And if you're not strong, it's okay. Because we all start out weak when we're in a relationship that ends, but we only get stronger through the process. But when you go through the process and you see your progress, it's one that truly should be celebrated, one that I cannot wait until the day that the young lady that I sat at the table with, where she wanted to all her friends to raise her glass and celebrate to her walking away from a relationship, that right now she's back into where she just can't find a way to see her own self-worth and to know that she deserves more. I can only wait for that day that I can actually celebrate with her, because at that point all she had was support, and that's what she has from me. But I look forward to the day where I can celebrate with her. We also talked about on one show, is it love or is it addiction? Is it an addiction? And two shows we went through talking about so much of the addiction and identifying the addiction, that I never really got a chance to talk about how we can break free of the addiction or to test to see if it is an addiction. And it's so simple. I think the one way, if we want to talk about the sex with the ex and how we become, you know, walk back into relationships that we break free from, but then we go back to them, one way to decide or to figure out if it is an addiction is a 30-day rule. It's a 30-day break free. Whatever it is that you feel that could be possibly questioning, take 30 days. And it's like Lucia said, you take one day at a time. And like she said, Marcia, I wrote it down, and I'm flipping through. You said one more day. Isn't that what you said, Marcia, one more day?
Mm-hmm. And the key word is in front of that one more day is just. Just one more
one
day.
More day. Just one more day. If you feel that there is something that you're addicted to, whether it's sex with the ex, running back to the ex, even if it's not about the sex, if you feel that it's you're held hostage in a relationship because of the financial reasons or for whatever, because of the kids, when you break free and it is a struggle and it's hard, just keep looking at just one more day. Just one more day. But if you can go 30 days of being free from whatever it is that you think could be possibly holding you in a situation that you don't want to be in or you're fighting to stay away from, 30 days. If you can do it for 30 days, you're free. I challenge you to try it. And guess what? If 30 days doesn't work, you start all over. But at some point, you have to start. Because being held hostage in a relationship is just no good for anyone. And before we go to the last segment of the show, which is my two cents, I want to share something that I read today that really and truly, it hit home for me. And not just from a relationship status, but I read this today when I was doing research for the show. And it says, you'll never get what you truly deserve if you remain attached to what you're supposed to let go of. And the only piece that I'm going to add to that is, only you can let go. And at that point, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to give my co-hosts an opportunity to speak, my callers an opportunity to speak, and then we will go to my two cents. I could not have made you all quiet.
It was very informative. It was to the point, very informative, and I think a lot of people out there, especially the ones who are lost right now in the decision, should I leave, should I go, should I stay, it's truly important to actually take that 30 days to get to know yourself one more time, to give you the opportunity to see where you're going, where you want to be, to love yourself one more time. It's so important to be barefoot, like in the chapters of your book. It's so important to be bare feet because people lose themselves and they need to reconnect. So I agree with that 30 days. Take the time to find yourself again. Life is worth it. There's too much things to be missed out on. Take the 30 days.
My thing is, the 30 days is great, but when you're doing 30 days with anything, 30 days seems to be a lot. So focus on the 30 days, but every day, use that one day as just one more day. Because if you go to do 30 push-ups, it's very hard. In between that 30, you're going to say you're going to take a break. So each day, the focus and the goal is 30 days, but just count one day. Don't say I'm going to 30 days. I'm going to just one more day.
Every day is a milestone.
Every day, absolutely. I love it.
Let's hear your two cents.
Okay. My two cents, and this is something that I also talked about in the book, but it got me today because I had a coworker who, before I was leaving work, and I was late, and I'm rushing, trying to get out of there because I have things that I have to do when I get home to get ready for the radio show tonight. She found me and said, Shelly, I prayed that you would be here when I got here this evening. And I was like, okay, how you doing? You know, the whole greeting thing. She said, I need to talk to you. So I said, okay, what's going on? She begins to tell me about something that she did in her relationship, which is the topic for my two cents. And I'm going to direct this at women, and it could be directed at men. But because I am a woman, I'm going to say this. Ladies, women, do not go through your man's cell phone. if you do, do it because you're ready to walk away. Because if you've gotten a hint and a half that something's not right, and then you resort to going through his cell phone, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find some shit you don't want to see. And when you do, if you don't do anything about it, all you've done is given him a get-out-of-jail-free card. And in this scenario, she did find something. And what did she do? Nothing about it. Because when I asked her, after she told me, she went through his phone, she found some things, she was upset about it. I said, so did that mean that you're not with him anymore? Y'all broke up? No. I said, okay. She said, well, what do you think? And everybody knows that if they talk to me, I don't sugarcoat anything. Because if you come to me, no, I'm going to give it to you straight. No chaser, you taking it straight. I told her, I said, well, all I can say is you just gave him a get-out-of-jail-free card. Because whatever you found in his phone that led you to believe that something was going on that was not what you wanted to happen in your relationship, you didn't do anything about it. No one understands. He now knows the next time you're going to do the same thing you did this time. Nothing. So, my 2 cents is this. If you go through a man's cell phone, ladies, and you find something, pictures, text messages, you go through his Facebook, all of the social media, whatever it is, and you find something, be ready to pack your emotional bags and get the hell out. Because if you don't, nothing is going to change. You've given him a get-out-of-jail-free card. That's my 2 cents. I see that there is someone on the call tonight who wants to make a comment. I'm going to open up the call to our weekly listener. I'm not even going to pretend that I don't even know who she is. And the last, James, I know you want to know, where's Niecy?
I was just going to say, call me Niecy.
I know you've been sitting there thinking the whole night, where's Niecy? She's been quiet. I ain't put her on blast because I ain't see that she had pressed 1 to make a comment. So what's happening, DC?
None much.
My baby girl.
None much, brother. My other half. My 2 cents is, you know, that X thing, I did the X thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's a great thing to do. Because in my situation, what's wrong? In my situation, it wasn't an addiction. It was control. I controlled him.
I like
you,
that.
Okay, you controlled
I had
him.
Okay. Do everything that he didn't do before because he thought, you know, yeah, we're going to get back together. And once he did all that for me, and I was like, you know, well, you know, this ain't going to work out because I remember, you know, why we weren't together. So after I used them for sex, I got rid of them. So it was good. I think it's a great thing to do. Especially when, you know, the shit wasn't right the first time. I'm sorry. I mean curse. So that was my 2 cents.
I don't think this cursing is the issue, but all I can say is, Niecy, why is it that everybody tonight has disagreed with my sex with the ex is bad?
I was just saying, it's not wrong with disagreeing.
But it depends on the
situation. Because sex with the ex always make people believe sex with the ex is the man is in control. But here we go. There's a perfect identity right
perfect
there.
Identity.
She's saying she was the one.
Mm-hmm. Control.
Mm-hmm. We always think men are so strong.
Mm-hmm. And he,
when you think about sex, Terry, when you think about sex, you always think that man wants sex more than woman do. But
mm-hmm.
It does not. It's not always the case.
That's crock shit. Excuse my French.
I love the terminology.
And he accepted it, too. It was not a problem. I mean, you know, his feelings was hurt, but when I said, I'm done, he was like, oh, just like that? Yeah, just like that.
But see, men can deal with stuff like that more than a female can. And I'm not trying to downplay.
I can deal with that.
Course, but it's,
I want one of my exes to come back and use me and dump me. I want that shit. Let's see. Let's see how that works.
For
the sex? For the sex?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want one to come back and use me like that.
Oh, my God. I can't deal with this.
Can't understand?
Oh, my God.
I can't understand. Shelly, you know what I can't understand?
Nisha,
why are you going to wait until the last minute to start some crap?
What?
You know,
but
he's not the victim. But Nisha is not the victim because she wants it to happen because she knows her intentions.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
We understand.
She's like, she wants to wait until it's 2 minutes to ten to blow her stuff out of the water. You just want to be in control.
Yep. You got that right,
Taylor. And I would say that she's been listening for the entire show because, you know, I can see, there's some numbers I know because I know the numbers because I call the numbers, but all the other listeners that are on the call tonight, I'm going to tell you, I barely know my own kids' cell phone numbers, but I do know some numbers that I dial frequently, and I know her number, and I know she's been listening the entire show. And I'm like, Sarah Lynn, she waits until the last minute to come in and walk it. Nisha just walks in the red room, swings the door open at the last minute, and be like, bam.
But
you
know
what? I just leave.
Got to get a bang, big bang at the end. Come on.
But you know what? Let me put it to these guys this way. You know
just
what is about to start in a few minutes?
I know, scandal.
Oh, Lord. Nisha, I need you to
send
me an email.
Can we hear the arguments for this evening, please?
Oh, okay. What is your name?
Susan.
The James.
If you're on Shelly,
well, you know what? I'll go on Shelly. I'll put you off Shelly.
Yeah, do that because I'm trying to start this thing where I'm keeping in touch with everybody who listens to the show as well, so they can sign me and stuff too. So I'm trying to keep the circle going. Everybody can contact all of us and discuss what they have to.
Okay. Not
and
a problem, James.
James.
Yes. Yes.
Can we please? I know it's we on the hour, but I need to have my drink every week. I'm sorry, I am parched.
I know. I apologize.
I
apologize. There's been a lot going on the past couple of weeks, and
I have a lot of mint in my backyard, and I would love to know how to use it a little bit more. So could we
have
something with some nice mint, please?
You said mint leaf?
Mint.
Yes.
Fresh
mint leaves.
Ooh.
Yes.
Hit me up on Facebook tomorrow. I'm going to send it to you. I just so love
Shelly.
The connection. That, yes. We have 90 seconds left. Let's make it quick.
Shelly,
could I add
my 2 cents? Shelly, could I add my 2 cents?
Please. Go ahead.
I can't wait for Thursday night to come because I just love being on here, exchanging my views and getting, you know, words of wisdom from the host and all of her guests. And when Thursday night can't come fast enough for me. That was my 2 cents.
I am so glad because I enjoyed it too. Some weeks I just, with everything that goes on in my life, I just feel like Thursdays, it's like, oh, here we go again. But I just so enjoy the support that I get from everybody that just keeps this thing going. I can say to you that I could never do this by myself. I cannot do this by myself. And I truly appreciate and love you guys for your support. I really, really do. We're about to end another night. Sarah Lynn, I know you got to go to the scandal room. And, again, I just really appreciate. Yes. Yes, so we are. Again, I thank you for my loyal listeners, to the archive listeners who log in. And, again, we will end another night in the Red Room, and I thank you so much. I love you guys, and I'll see you next week, Thursday night at 8 o'clock in the Red Room. Good night.
Good night.
Check Facebook tomorrow for the beverage of the week.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, good night.
Good night.